Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I'll get you anything, my friend, if it makes you feel all right. 'Cause I don't care too much for money, but money can buy me love. I'll give you all I've got to give if you say you love me too. I may not have a lot.
Been working with the Department of Health and Escambia County to test for bacteria at Bruce Beach since October of 2021. I know some of that has been covered. I've talked about since I've become mayor in 2022. This stretch of beach behind us has been found comparable to other public access areas along the bay going back to October 2021, and approximately 75% of that testing is within safe guidelines.
That was one of the questions that I had, because if you've got a beach that's going to be, you know, I mean, we've been working on this for quite some time, obviously the city, since at least Grover Robinson's tenure, and trying to get Bruce Beach kind of open and usable. And it was open, and, you know, and then they had this whole project to redesign it, so it was closed for a little while. But, I mean, it is a beach, you know, and the question I know a lot of people kind of ask is, well, is it, you know, would you go swim there? Because there's been a long history of, you know, water quality concerns in that area. And the mayor says, no, you know, we've been doing testing for years and years, and it's safe.
September of 2022, we collaborated with FDEP and ECUA to conduct extensive genetic testing in the downtown area, and results here showed that bacteria was not of human origin, but avian origin. So, and then lastly, we did some testing yet again before this opening on April 8th at 19 different locations in and around Bruce Beach, and the results didn't indicate any significant bacteriological sources to correct. So, we want it, just because we had tested a couple years ago and we had tested last year, we're opening this park.
So bacteria, to the degree that it is there, is avian in nature. And my natural thought is, well, I don't know that swimming in bird poo is better than swimming in other kinds. I mean, if that's your issue, you know, it's okay. It's from the birds. Oh, fine. No big deal. Don't even need a shower, really. you know, I don't know. So, no, but that was my question is, you know, is it a swimming hole or not?
Dan, if you look into how this park has been designed to be utilized, it's not necessarily as a swimming park as it pertains to the access to the waterfront. But as you'll see in phase one and phase two, this is more of a outdoor kayak type of usage. As it pertains to the water. Nonetheless, we continue to test water, and that is important to us.
Yeah, so it's an access point for kayaks and paddle boards and things like that, and maybe not as much take the kids down and, you know, swim in it. But that's what he was trying to say, is that it is safe to be able to do that. The other question that I have is not so much with the bacteria levels or water quality, more of stuff in the under the water, in the sand, in the soil, you know, because my perception, and I was trying to figure out why I have this perception, but my perception is that it might not be safe to be, you know, it's like the soil, you know, that there might be not necessarily chemical or anything like that, but like debris, you know, that if you think of a beach is where you go, you take off your shoes and you go in the water. And that's my perception of that beach, and I was trying to figure out why I have that perception, but I'll have to ask the mayor about that this morning when we have him on, about, you know, whether it's safe in that regard, because that would be the question, is, you know, not necessarily is it okay to swim in, but is it okay to swim and wade in and have the kids playing in and have the dogs playing in and all of that kind of stuff. But he did make a good point that I had just never, I guess, never really considered before, that
understand, we have an entire hardscape waterfront here, so everything is a seawall because of the history you mentioned. You know, this was a port town, a timber town, you know, and that's where we had ships coming in and out. And so what's behind us is the only sand on accessible sand in essence on the Pensacola Bay. I mean, and it, you know, you've got Sanders Beach that's got a little bit of a boat launch, but in terms of human interaction with the water, this is the only piece left. And so to preserve that and to make it the amenity that it is, I think is a great reward for us.
You know, it hadn't occurred to me, but he's right. If you go and think about all the different places following the coastline where you can just go and you know, sandy toes in the water in Pensacola, there aren't. I mean, there just aren't. He's right. I mean, there might be little bits of, you know, land that somebody owns where it's, but, you know, for the most part, there is no beach in Pensacola. It's just, it doesn't exist. And, you know, it's kind of a weird thing because you got that city up against the water and you would think there'd be something, but there just really isn't. I mean, there's places where there, you know, might be a little bit more accessible than others. And obviously you can think about like Hobo Beach is sort of like that, but you're not really supposed to go over there. You know, that's actually prohibited now. And how do you get there is a challenge to begin with. And, you know, what are you going to do? Walk across the trestle like everybody does? Well, no, it's, technically, you're not supposed to do that. So it is, it's kind of just an interesting observation that, you know, not a lot of beachfront property or, you know, any really, when you think about the primary, interaction between the city of Pensacola and to the south and, you know, and the bay. So I'm curious. I will talk with him about this. I wasn't able to go to the press conference yesterday between having our all-staff meeting yesterday and a flat tire. You know, I just wasn't able to go. So I wanted to get a look at it myself, but I will certainly go as soon as the thing is open. It looks fantastic. I mean, I'd kind of driven by there several times while they were doing the construction. Completely different than it ever was before. So just a complete revamping of that entire space. 516 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. There is another piece of very good news that came out. I think this was news yesterday. I think I'd seen this in a couple of places, but not so much reported.
Good news. I'm happy to hear and appreciate Allison and her team getting at the Lakeview Center, the central receiving opened on Monday morning for Baker Acts and those types of things. That is an important service for our police department. I know for our sheriff's department. So I'm very encouraged to hear that.
Same. This is a huge milestone for our area in dealing with Baker Act patients. You remember the problems that we were having last year, 2 years, year and a half? I'm trying to remember now sometimes the exact how far along before it was. But we were having this problem where, you know, Baptist is the only one that can take the youth, okay, the under 18s, for Baker Acts. And then you had West Florida at a time was kind of threatening not to take any Baker Acts. And you had this problem of, you know, well, what resources is it stressing? Where can you actually take Baker Act candidates? Who's going to review them? And how long does that take? And then what do you do with them? And it was kind of this push to create what he was talking about, their central receiving facility, a one place whenever you have somebody of any age that would be a candidate for Baker Act that you could take them, and because this would be like your one-stop drop, so to speak, and for their benefit and for law enforcement's benefit and for the hospital's benefit. And now it's open, which is fantastic.
To be able to complete that evaluation and transfer someone in 10 minutes. Right now, it could be hours where that's tying up some of our police resources on that handoff. So that's something that may not get a lot of headlines, but that is a vital part of our public safety that's now up and running.
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but here on the Pensacola Morning News, we're going to talk about it because this was a huge controversy when it was a problem. And now that it looks like we've taken that official next step, this is a big improvement in quality of service for the people who need to be Baker acted and for the law enforcement officers who have to deal with those candidates. 518 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you need electrical, heating, air conditioning, plumbing work done, anything in that vicinity, that's Peden. They'll take care of you. And, you know, they quality people show up on time. Professional technicians do it right the first time, stand by the work, 100% satisfaction guarantee, and they have been doing so well over the last couple of years that they've been expanding to the east all the way to Tallahassee. I mean, everything from here to Tallahassee, think about that. That's their territory past the timeline, you know, central and eastern time zone. And then to the west, last year they had expanded to Baldwin County. Now they've expanded to Mobile County. So everywhere from Mobile to Tallahassee, if you need any of those services, they'll take care of you. And this month, they always have a different special every month. This month, they have $250 off an indoor air quality system through the month of April. So you've only got about 6 days left for that. But right now, $250 off an indoor air quality system through April at Peden. You can find out more or schedule an appointment at Peden, PEADEN.com.
I have diabetes. I'm at risk for pneumococcal pneumonia.
I have asthma. I'm at risk, too.
If you're 19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, COPD, or heart disease, or are 65 or older, you are at increased risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Ask your doctor or pharmacist about Prevnar 20, pneumococcal 20-valent conjugate vaccine, a Pfizer vaccine that can help protect you against pneumococcal pneumonia in just one dose. Even if you've already been vaccinated with other pneumonia vaccines, Prevnar 20 may help provide added protection. Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
In the world of payroll and HR services, things can get complicated. There are so many moving parts in business. At Avalon HR, we understand these complications and have your back. Join us today at 10 o'clock on the Pensacola Expert Panel as we guide you through the complicated world of payroll and HR services. Running a business is busy work. Allow Avalon HR to work with you. Join us today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 10 on News Radio 1620 92.3 FM.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Hello, this is Mary with Howard Young Flooring. Shopping for flooring can be a little overwhelming. At Howard Young Flooring, we are here to help you any way we can and answer any questions you may have so that you can make knowledgeable decisions. We understand the importance of each and every customer and would like to thank you for allowing us into your homes. For those we have not met, we hope to see you soon. Visit us today at 4333 Avalon Boulevard in Milton. We look forward to covering your future.
Gulf Coast businesses are set to lose over $5 million this month. I'm Nathan with Data Revolution, and this is your cybersecurity tip of the month. It's the beginning of tax season, and scammers know the threat of an IRS audit gets people to pay. Know that the IRS will never initiate contact through email, and any email threatening an audit is just a scam. Businesses along the Gulf Coast trust Data Revolution for their cybersecurity and communications needs. Visit datarevs.com for more information.
All the big national news in a conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins from 11 till 2 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ha ha!
Whoa! Hey! Whoa!
I've been waiting on the sunset, bills on my mindset. I can't deny it, getting higher, higher than my income. Income's breadcrumbs. I've been trying to survive.
You ever criticize somebody and then they give you an explanation and then you feel like the jerk? So this is not a personal story. I mean, it is many times. But, you know, that's why over the years I've tried to learn to, you know, be slow to criticism, you know, get your facts right, ask questions, talk to the people that you might disagree with or people who might sympathize with, you know, all that kind of stuff, right? Because, you know, you step out on a rudeness limb and then all of a sudden the facts change. You're like, oh, that's bad. Well, PETA, the people for the ethical treatment of animals. Remember they came out with this opposition to the mullet toss at the Floribama. You know, how dare you hurt the little fishies? You know, what's wrong with you? You should use fake fish. And then did you see the response yesterday from the Floribama? You know, the fish go to feed the local alligators at a preserve, right? Like, we don't waste the fish. They're not fit for human consumption after they've been folded, sanded, heave-hoed, and all the other things you do to them. But, you know, they're perfectly fine for feeding the alligators. The owner of Alligator Alley said, this was in a, where did I see this now? I can't remember if it's Channel 3. Maybe it's Channel 3. Anyway, the mullet are a little beat up, so not quite fit for human consumption, but we have several animals that like mullet just as much as we do. And so you just give it to them. And they said that they order about 2,000 mullet for the event every year. And, you know, they're not alive when you throw them. I mean, just in case you've never been to the mullet toss, they're not wriggling in your hand. Although, it does seem to me like that would be a little more challenging if that were the case. But no, they don't do it that way, and they're not going to do it that way. So, you know, Oopsie. Weird, though, that PETA is generous and gracious and kind and understanding and sympathetic and, you know, careful as they are in their pronouncements, would have made a mistake like this or would have. Of course, their whole game. PETA's whole game is say shocking things and get news coverage for free because they say shocking things, right? That's their whole gig. 525 on News Radio 92.3. And it works because they're very creative at coming up with shocking, outrageous things. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Andrew, have you ever tossed a mullet?
I have not. It's one of my, like, there's just a couple of things I haven't done in Pensacola ever that I want to. And one is the polar bear plunge.
Right.
Okay, the other one is the mullet toss. Those are like the two things that I think there's only, there might be other things that I'm not thinking of, but those are the two like top of the list. And every year it's the same thing. I just don't want to deal with that traffic. And for the polar bear plunge, it's always like, eh.
I can see that. You know, it's not as easy as you would think to toss a mullet.
I believe.
It really isn't. I tried it my first year here and I thought, you know.
Did you sand and fold? Did you rub some sand in your hand and fold the fish and then do all the things they teach you to do?
I didn't fold.
Okay.
I didn't fold.
You sand and flapped then.
Right. And okay. Yeah, and it was embarrassing how short my mullet throw was. Because I thought, yeah, I'm going to win this thing. It'll
no
be
problem.
Great.
No problem. Yeah. I know what all of these, you know, people don't understand.
And there goes the mullet and there stops.
8 feet.
The
well
mullet.
Done. Yeah. Nice.
President Biden preparing to sign the new foreign aid bill into law today. The Senate passed the $95 billion foreign aid package yesterday, which includes funding for Ukraine, Israel, Taiwan, and the Indo-Pacific. It also lays the groundwork for a potential ban to TikTok in the U.S.
Hey, there's a piece of this story that I have not had a chance to share, and I just hang out for me because I want to get the fact right. It's like page 60 of my show prep. You have 60 pages of show? I have 100 this today. Anyway, I'm at 85. There was one part of this aid package that had not gotten any press that I thought was really interesting. The Israel aid package includes $4 billion to replenish Iron Dome and David Sling. Those are different distance of interceptors. Help ward off the attack. $9.5 billion in humanitarian aid for Gaza.
Okay.
Which that hasn't gotten a lot of attention.
No, not at all.
And it prohibits funds to the UN Relief and Works Agency, UNRWA. It includes $1 billion for other artillery and munitions and $2.5 billion for current U.S. military operations, which include aid drops to Gaza. And then this is the part, okay? $2 million for military finance planning program for Taiwan, $1.9 to build Taiwan military capabilities. And this, trust me, this is the one I've been wanting to get to. $3.3 billion to build dry docks and boost other regional infrastructure for U.S. submarines. You know how we've talked so much about we have a shipping gap, right? We have a maritime construction gap, well, shipping, and naval vessels, particularly with, you know, China's building as fast as they can. Now, they're building crap. It's terrible compared to U.S. stuff. But, they're, you know, at a certain point, more is more. And we are not, and our dry dock and our construction facilities have been lagging. But apparently, there's $3.3 billion in here to construct shipbuilding capability, which to me is a huge piece of news, at least for the subs. Now, if we can get it for the destroyers and other things as well. Anyway, just
that was
something I hadn't seen reported anywhere else. Defense One had reported that, and I thought that was fascinating. Sorry, go ahead.
That is absolutely. That's something I haven't seen anywhere either. So a great piece of information. Thank you, Andrew. A bill allowing Tennessee teachers to carry guns is heading to their governor's desk today. That bill allows for specially trained teachers to carry handguns in their classrooms. The Tennessee governor, Bill Lee, has indicated support for the measure, but does want to see more details.
I think 40 hours of training is
what
they get.
So,
40
yeah.
hours of training. And it's all volunteer. You know, the teacher opts in or the staff member opts in, right?
Right. So. Nobody's forced to.
Right.
And the Federal Trade Commission is banning non-compete agreements. According to the FTC, 18% of the U.S. workforce has been covered by these agreements, which would stop them from working for a competitor or starting a new competing business when they leave a job. So the FTC banning them.
Yeah, this is so this is not the end of this story because they voted 3-2. The Republicans on the FTC voted against it. But their concern is that an executive administration agency shouldn't be making this change. It should be a change in the law. And so the FTC, they say, shouldn't have the authority to do this. I'll just tell you, I am generally and only the right authority should be doing a thing. And I agree with that criticism. But anything to chip away at the just ridiculous overuse of these non-competes is a good thing. Because, I mean, people, like, you work at a restaurant and somebody would make you sign a non-compete clause in order to prevent you from taking your bushwhacker technology across the street. I mean, it's crazy where this has gotten used. And, you know, there are some situations where non-competes are good to protect important trade secrets that are, you know, created by that. But it's been used to basically enslave people to jobs because they can't afford to go to a competitor for higher pay or better work conditions for 3 or 6 or once months or whatever. And nobody has the ability to push back against this stuff as an individual. So I love the idea of the federal government putting a ban on this kind of nonsense, at least a broad-based ban, not necessarily in every case, but a broad-based ban. But I do agree with the criticism that it's, you know, which agency has the authority to do this? Should it be in the law? But yeah, man, these things are out of control. It really is crazy. David, thank you so much for the update. Excellent information. Coming up next, our interview with Chip Simmons from yesterday. Very interesting stuff.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop, a part of the tent city at Columbia University, remains in place this morning.
Columbia shedding some light on the situation, telling Fox News, quote, we are making important progress with representatives of the student encampment on the West Lawn. Student protesters have committed to dismantling and removing a significant number of tents. In light of this constructive dialogue, the university will continue conversations for the next 48 hours.
Fox's Brooke Singman, the Senate gives the green light to a $95 billion foreign aid package.
America sends a message to the entire world. We will not turn our back on you.
Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, nearly $61 billion for Ukraine, more than $26 billion for Israel, and just over $8 billion for Taiwan and other priorities in the Indo-Pacific. President Biden says he will sign the bill. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 59 degrees, partly cloudy skies right now in Pensacola. Well, this Saturday, the city of Pensacola is celebrating the grand opening of the new Bruce Beach Park.
The genesis of this from community feedback, robust community feedback about what the vision could be here and access to the waterfront, all of those things. That have now been talked about for years, and so very exciting week this week.
The final step before opening phase one of the park was the installation of the Portland Lou restroom. The first phase came with about a $6.3 million price tag that includes a children's playground, pedestrian bridge to community maritime park, and shade structures. There was a group of demonstrators outside the Pensacola Federal Courthouse yesterday as Joe Exotic made an appearance in court. According to Channel 3, some holding Free Joe Exotic signs were there. Others were outspoken against him. Joe Maldonado Passage in court to fight a copyright infringement claim. He claims songwriter Vince Johnson ripped off his music while he was in prison.
When he was incarcerated and locked up, they came out and claimed credit for all the music, got a big advance from BMG, and just shafted Joe like everybody else has seemed to.
That's from his manager, JT Barnett. Joe Exotic heading back to Fort Worth, Texas, where he's currently serving a 21-year sentence for attempted murder. A convicted murderer serving a life sentence in the prison in Century, accused of assaulting a correctional officer. Florida Department of Corrections says 49-year-old inmate Michael Harvis recently hit an officer in the face. Harvis is serving a life sentence on a murder conviction out of Hillsborough County. He now faces additional charges related to that incident. Well, the vendor that had an $850,000 check hijacked by some online fraudsters earlier this month will be made whole by Santa Rosa County.
The work has been done.
Yeah.
It's work in Metron Estate. And, you know, at this point, there's still a lot of information that's needed to determine, you know, exactly where, if any, fault lies. So,
okay.
So we felt like it was the best thing to do to go ahead, you know, and this is a small contractor.
Santa Rosa County Administrator Devan Cook there, and he says the county will reimburse those funds. They're hoping to cover most of the money, to recover most of the money that was stolen. He also says they've filed an insurance claim, which may cover the difference. Law enforcement continues to investigate that online theft in the wake of the cybersecurity incident. Santa Rosa County now looking at tightening their security measures by moving back to paper checks and documents rather than sending their payments through email. It is 5:34 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
This is meteorologist Brooke Richardson with your first warning weather update. It is going to be a beautiful sunny day today with temperatures warming up near 78 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 59. Beautiful and sunny on Thursday with a high near 78. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. We're going to round out the work week with some nice sunny weather, high on Friday near 79 degrees. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thank you, Brooke. And 59 in Pensacola. 58 in Gulf Breeze, 53 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. The Senate has passed the $95 billion foreign aid package, which will provide financial and military assistance to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. The legislation also gives TikTok's Chinese parent company ByteDance 9 months to divest or face a ban in the U.S. Officials say ByteDance could be given a possible 3-month extension if a sale is in progress when time runs out. President Biden is set to sign the bill into law later today. Boeing's quarterly report, also due later today, will be the most complete accounting to date of the fallout from the mid-flight blowout aboard a 737 MAX 9 plane in January. Analysts expect the maker of the 737 to report its 7th consecutive quarterly loss. Economists at LSEG estimate revenue will come in at roughly $16.3 billion, while the plane maker will post a loss of $1.76 per share. Futures are mixed. That's Your Money Now.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions, 850-437-1620.
At any event, gathering, or party, what's the one thing people talk about when it's over? The food! That's why, for over 25 years, locals have chosen Culinary Production as their caterer of choice. Chef Mike DeSorbo and his culinary team have been given rave reviews from very satisfied customers. And now, Culinary Production offers a venue space for your next event. A venue space for 250-plus people with catering, bar service, and more, all in downtown Pensacola. Get all the information you need at culinaryproductions.net.
Join Travis Thompson with Climatech of Professional Air, an American Standard heating and air conditioning independent customer care dealer in the Pensacola area, on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9:30. Join in as Travis discusses how you can lower your energy bill and create a healthy, comfortable home. Join him tomorrow morning at 9:30 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Severe weather can strike at any time. At any time.
New tornado warning just in effect now for Escambia and Santa Rosa counties.
At any time.
Looking at the map here, this is west of Bellevue, pushing eastward across West Pensacola.
When you need to know.
So this is the warned area. Now a tornado warning in effect until 2:03.
Severe weather can strike at any time. When you need to know.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Morning, 5:38 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Yesterday had, as always, a good chance to talk with Escambia Sheriff Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good. I'm very good. Okay, now, you got a lot of weight in this county.
wasn't you supposed to be trying to tell me?
Why did you let FPL go do tree trimming and power pole work on Pinecone this morning? I mean, why did you permit that to happen? Because that is screwing up everybody's life on 297A and 97.
You know, I'm one of those people that asked the question, why can't you do this after rush hour in the morning and you know,
so silly, right?
Can't you do it between certain hours? Because you know cars are going to be driving by.
Oh, my God.
I drove by that way coming in here today, And I actually thought about that because it was moving pretty smoothly
at the time
on my drive.
Yeah.
There were garbage trucks collecting garbage cans, and it was I was thinking to myself, 15 minutes from now, this is going to be a nightmare.
And it is a nightmare.
So my neighbor's
now.
Up around that area. I'm sorry. I got the
you took advantage
earlier.
Of the right time frame. Well, I know it's not your fault, but I just thought, you know, it's kind of funny you and I were talking about
it. I get blamed for a lot of things that aren't
do you ever?
I don't think are my fault.
A lot of stories to cover this week. You have Patrick Farrell Jr. This is the guy who called somebody for money and got told no and then decided to rob him anyway. Is that basically what happened here?
Yeah, he called a guy, said he owed him money, and the guy says, no, I'm not paying you the alleged money that I owe you.
Yeah.
And so he goes over to the guy's house, and he robs him, shooting and robbing the man, and we were charged him with that.
With a gunpoint? Is that what happened here? Was there a weapon involved?
Yeah, he shot him in the back.
He shot him?
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's even worse than
I
thought.
He drove him to his house, he robbed him of his money, and then he shot in the back and fled the scene.
Okay, so this would be a robbery and an attempted murder charge?
Attempted homicide, yeah. We did charge him with attempted homicide.
Okay, all right. We do have, like, civil... Like, if somebody owes you money, you can take them to court, though, right?
You can.
Without shooting them?
That's correct.
Okay,
yeah,
just checking.
There are other remedies.
Still allowed in Florida. You also had the case of, is it Dylan or Dillian Royster with, got arrested with a whole bunch of stuff in his possession. Is that right?
Yeah, our narcotics unit has really been doing a good job recently. And one of the search warrants that they do, one of the doors they kicked in, ended up arresting a guy named Dylan Royster. Charged him with trafficking in fentanyl, trafficking in methamphetamine, possession with intent to distribute, possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, possession of a short-barreled rifle, and possession of drug paraphernalia. So... there's a picture on our Facebook page. You can see the collection of drugs that we seized from this particular house.
2.5 like kilos of methamphetamines, which is, thanks to television, we all know how much a kilo is.
It's, exactly. Everyone know, knows because of
we
the
all know
crack
that's
cocaine
a
days.
Lot right. of drugs, right?
It's certainly too much for personal consumption. And that's why all the charges are for the trafficking. And this is the type of person that's ruining our community.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we talk about drugs poisoning our community and infiltrating our community. When you have that much drugs, you know, fentanyl itself is so deadly, and certainly that's why it's our top priority. But then you add all this mixture of drugs, and I talk a lot about gun violence and drugs go hand in hand, and this is just indicative of that because there were looked like a short barrel rifle, looked like an AK-47 mm-hmm. type of a weapon with what is described as a short barrel, and then another weapon, and then just the drugs and money. That's a recipe for disaster.
And I assume I know what your answer is going to be, but I'll ask you the question anyway. Just as a side note to all of this, but if people didn't buy and use drugs, as in maybe people who are listening to the show right now, if you didn't buy and use drugs, you wouldn't have people like this menacing our society. Right? I mean, if you didn't have demand, you wouldn't have... And so
no need for the supply.
The
right.
people... You know, we want to blame the guy who's got 2.5 kilos of meth and a short barrel rifle, and you know,
and we
but,
do, right?
And if people didn't buy the product, you wouldn't have people like this, right?
Yeah, I think on you know, we dig down to the basic you know supply and demand. I believe if there weren't people that were buying drugs, people wouldn't be selling them,
right?
Right? They do something else.
In this case, this is a drug house. Is this one of those where you're gonna bulldoze it or put up a sign or something like that?
We did put up a sign that the drug house is closed.
Good.
Again, that picture's on our social media platform. We don't bulldoze houses. We are happy to help those that do.
Okay.
Which is code enforcement, Escambia County code enforcement. And then we contribute, you know, the calls for service that we have, the nuisance type calls that we have at a particular location. And if they need us to stand by, we will gladly do so.
Gotcha. Also last week you had what I think of as the most nitwit of all crimes I've seen in a long time, and that is an accomplishment. These folks who tried to pass off as a lottery ticket winner, two lottery tickets that were kind of cut and pasted together like some ransom note with newspaper magazine letters. Is that kind of, that's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, I mean, and it's bad enough. You're trying to fraud, you know, defraud the lottery
right.
system and trying to get money. But here's the thing that really gets me. You couldn't do it for $10 or $20 or $100. You try to get $1 million. And if you believe that, and I'm just assuming this is true, the lottery folks, if you come here to cash a ticket for $5, they're not going to look at as much as they are when you come here and to claim $1 million prize.
Sure.
You would think that that's going to be scrutinized.
Nobody cares about a counterfeit $1 bill so much, but a Ben Franklin, sure, they pay attention.
Yeah. I mean, you look it up in the lights and that sort of thing. And in this case, these people decided that it's a good idea to put these two tickets, which had two different serial numbers on the opposite side. So the same ticket, once it was taped together, had two different tickets.
It was taped together?
Yeah, taped together.
Oh, God.
And then you put your name on it and said, yes, I'll take large bills, please.
Right.
If you can give me $1 million here. And anyways, that's where we come in.
It was not hard to discern that this was a fraudulent document. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't see many lottery tickets myself, but I think I would be able to determine that this was... Okay. Not the work of an expert.
Not the work of an expert forger. This story is concerning to me. I don't know how bad the incident was, but the headline I saw was a woman bit one of your deputies outside of a motel?
Yeah, we get a call that there was a fight involving two women. When we get there, one of the women was Nikelia Burrell. And as we're discussing this incident with her, she gives a false name. And then when we figured out she's given a false name, she takes off running. We catch her, and then she bites one of our deputies. I don't know that people understand how many times they try to bite us whenever we try to arrest them. You know, we're holding their arms, and they just try to bite us, which to me is just one of the worst things.
Yeah.
People are nasty,
yeah.
Right? And then they bite you, and then you got to get – you know, all this medical attention, and you got these open wounds. Some of the bites are pretty severe. I have not seen this one to determine how bad it was, but you can't bite a deputy and then not be charged accordingly.
We don't think about it all that often, unless maybe if you watch Cops, maybe you see it a little bit more often than something else. But I'm always considering the sprained ankles and sprained thumbs and, ankles twisted and wrists.
Tweaked knees and everything.
Yeah, like, and not necessarily the disabling injuries, but all of these little nagging things that are, you know, just because you had to fight with somebody who just wouldn't comply.
This is a physical occupation, and we that's why we test people. We make sure that they're physically able to do the job. I don't know that there's ever been a time when I've been in law enforcement that we have had no one on light duty for job-related injuries. Mm-hmm. Whether I was at Pensacola Police Department for 29 years or now at the Sheriff's Office for however many years I've been at Sheriff's Office, almost 8 years, we always have at least one. And I imagine we typically have about 10 deputies because we have a rather large agency.
About 400, 450?
About 450.
Yeah, okay.
Sworn. And we have at times about 10 deputies. We probably average 5 deputies that are on what we call light duty for, again, they're chasing people, they're cutting themselves, they're doing a lot of things, and that's why we have to make sure that we have a location for them. They work the front desk, or they work an area while they get their stitches, you know, until they get their stitches out, or until they have an evaluation of a knee injury. But there's a lot of injuries.
2 to 3% of the force at any given moment. That's pretty good. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty high because of all the stuff that happens. ShotSpotter's kind of been in the news the last couple of days because, you know, I know Channel 3 has been covering this, Mobile is going away from it. There have been reports previously that Chicago is going away for reasons more related to their perception of race and things like that, that I thought were, well, you know, you're in the crime neighborhoods. Anyway, you and PPD both love this program. It's very effective, right?
If the concern is that it's not accurate, that's not a concern of ours. It has been shown to be very accurate. Again, I make the comment that there's a couple of times when we couldn't find shell casings of a reported, shots fired type call in the area. And then we go back and look at exactly where the shot spotter said that the shots took place. Go there, and sure enough, there are, we hear nine, or we are indication that there's nine shots fired, and then we find nine shell casings. So it's very accurate. It's very timely. If the concern is, is racial profiling, whatever the concern would be, we took the highest areas of shots being fired,
right?
And that's where we put ours at. If the concern is cost, I can certainly understand that because it's not a cheap program. In fact, had we not gotten an appropriation from the state, we probably wouldn't have the program itself. But when the opportunity presented itself to incorporate the ShotSpotter program with our real-time crime center, why wouldn't I do that? Why wouldn't I try to do that? Because when we can get a deputy on the scene many times before a call is even made, You know, we can either render aid to an individual that might have been shot, or we can catch the person that fired that shot. I think that's a good thing. Why wouldn't we want to do that? Now, I've said all along that we will evaluate this at the two-year mark and determine whether we can get another appropriation from the state, or if we can, if it's worth keeping. I would say that with budgets the way they are, I'm not going to trade manpower for the ShotSpotter program. Although the ShotSpotter program is accurate and it does aid, it does help us. As long as we have funding for it, I'm obviously a fan of it.
Yeah, the article I was reading here that was from Channel 3 said that 323 alerts from ShotSpotter in 6 months.
That's correct.
That's amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of shots. Well, but what an amazing law enforcement tool.
Well, and let me tell you, I think as far as I can recall, there's only been two situations where we get there and it's actually been someone shot, what I call in anger.
Okay.
Most of these have been. For some of them, we don't know. I mean, we get there and there's no indication of right. any shots being fired. And then a lot of them are in the backyard of a house that appears to be someone just, target practicing or trying out a new gun or something like that. So the overwhelming majority of those are not real, an individual being shot by another individual. Some of them are celebratory shots and that sort of thing. But, I don't want people to think 300, people have been shot and since this has been initiated.
Just in thinking about that, the real-time crime center that you've got that's been operational now for what, almost a month?
About 5 weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
How's that paying off?
It is a game changer. It really is. We had a call last week when, in which we had an individual that we're looking for in a car in our real-time crime center. All the people that are there assigned there, the intelligence analyst and the investigators that we have down there. They went to action. They were doing. If you went down, you would have seen one screen had. They're looking for cameras that might be in the area. Another screen's doing a follow up on that type of a car. Another one. Once we end up, getting a tag number, we had a suspect, and then we try to find out exactly where that suspect. What other location that suspect may be in. So we had all that information, all going to the deputies at about the same time. So that's what we're doing, and it's only going to get better. We've only just started this. We're having. We're still trying to get more people, more businesses to incorporate their cameras, at least so we can know, that some people might be willing to have to share their cameras, their camera feeds if they have them. So it's not just me. I've spoken to many of my fellow sheriffs in the state of Florida, and they also think that this is a game changer. Not that the cameras weren't already there. It's just we incorporate all those cameras into one system. And when something happens, we can bring that.
Because time is of the essence, and the more things are centralized, the better effectiveness you can have at responding to the information in a timely way when it's actually happening.
That's correct.
Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff Chip Simmons. Oh, by the way, congratulations on a great event Saturday. I was out on a date with my wife, but it looked like y'all had a great time and ate some crawfish, saw some cars, played some games, had some fun. So
it was a great day. It was warm, but it was a great day. And I just want to say thank you to the Escambia County Sheriff Foundation and to all the volunteers that helped. It was a wonderful day, and obviously to Mr. Bryan over there at Five Flag Speedway.
Outstanding, Sheriff Chip Simmons. As always, thank you for the time and the service to the community. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 437-1620. That is my phone number. Got some events I want to tell you about that are coming up. Pensacola Navy Days comes up May 17th, 18th, and 19th, so just under a month away. This first of its kind here in Pensacola, kind of like a fleet week for us without the fleet side. All of the celebration of Navy, all the different things, like there's a run and there's a parade and there's events and just all kinds of stuff. Again, that's May 17th, 18th, and 19th, so very cool thing. This weekend, we have the Pensacola Crawfish Festival, the 26th through the 28th downtown at Seville and also Bartram Park and Fountain Park in that area. So all kinds of stuff to go on there. Find out more at newsradio923.com. And the United Way of West Florida, the gala that they are having. Glitz and Gallop on May 4th, Star Wars Day, 100th anniversary celebration. Find out more and visit Cat Country 98.7, which is our sister station, right 50 feet away, Brenton Miller Broadcasting. But visit Cat Country 98.7 to get more information about that. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Your road to adventure starts with the 2024 Subaru Outback and the 2024 Subaru Forester. Both come standard with symmetrical all-wheel drive for confidence along the way. The Subaru Outback, according to Kelley Blue Book, is one of the best family cars of 2023. And according to Auto Trader and my good friend Max here... The Subaru Forester is one of the 2023 best cars for dog lovers. For information on all the awards and accolades from Kelley Blue Book and Auto Trader on the Subaru brand, the Subaru Outback, and the Subaru Forester, visit KelleyBlueBookKBB.com and AutoTrader.com. Whether you're a Forester family or an Outback family, your road to adventure starts in a Subaru from Anderson Subaru. Go where love takes you. Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola, online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Kelley Blue Book is a registered trademark of Kelley Blue Book Company, Incorporated. Auto Trader is a registered trademark and used with permission.
Join Ballet Pensacola's new artistic director, Stefano Candrivra, tomorrow at 10 a.m. with guest dancers from Ballet Pensacola's upcoming performance of The Sleeping Beauty. Tickets are online at balletpensacola.org. From May 3rd through May 5th, shows at the Sanger Theater. Don't miss this classic story of Princess Aurora cursed with 100 years of sleep. The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Serving overseas was just the beginning. We might be home from war, but our mission continues in communities all across the country. It's why we're out there in times of peace and crisis, providing meals to the hungry and supplies to the sick. It's why we're giving strength to those who are too weak and bringing resources to those without them. Service doesn't stop when we're done serving. It's what makes us the VFW. Learn more at vfw.org.
News Radio Pensacola on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Informative, local, dependable.
If she lives,
this will be good for your relationship.
You're right. And if there's one thing I know, it's women and covert ops.
That's two things. No, Grasshopper. It is not.
There's one thing I know, it's women and covert ops. That's two things. No, Grasshopper. It is not. I know it's an obscure line from the movie Red 2, but it's pretty good. So 5:57 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The Food and Drug Administration says bird flu viruses have been detected in some samples now of pasteurized milk in the U.S. The FDA made that announcement this week, less than a month after an outbreak of the bird flu was found in herds of dairy cows for the first time. The U.S. Supreme Court taking on a case involving emergency abortions. The High Court will hear oral arguments today on whether emergency rooms in Idaho can provide abortions to a woman whose health is at risk. Idaho's law, as of now, makes it a felony for physicians to perform most abortions.
Yeah, there's like this. There's a federal law that has to do with emergency services and requirement to provide them, and that's where the conflict point here is, whether that law, which doesn't specify abortion, as I understand it, overrides the local prohibition on providing an emergency abortion service. So that's what that case is going to be about.
Absolutely. And if you've got a smart TV, there's a new app you can download at some point here. Elon Musk's X platform is now launching a dedicated video app for smart TVs. The company, a note sent to the company's corporate partners, says the X TV app, which launched on Tuesday, won't have any ads yet, but it will in the future.
Well, I just can't wait to go so badly to Twitter that I want to watch it on my television. Okay, sure, whatever. David, thanks so much for the update. Hey, you hear me talking about Frontier Motors all the time, saying that they serve the community, and one of the ways they do that, it's a little way, it's an interesting thing, but it tells you kind of a lot about how they do business, which is when you look at a price sheet for a car, it'll tell you all the numbers, and then there's the bottom line price. That's all you talk about. And there's a Carfax attached, which will tell you the vehicle repair and maintenance history for that car if it's been reported, you know, and that's why I recommend you go to a good mechanic before you buy a used car. But if you're buying a car from somebody else, like on a corner lot or from Facebook Marketplace, they don't provide you a Carfax, go to Frontier and get one from them. Give them the VIN, no problem. Why would they do that? Because they can. So when I say they've been serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, I mean
listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.